Hello and welcome to episode 541 of Contending at the Water Cooler. I am your host, Clarence Moy, and I am joined by the other two M's. We're finally back after several weeks. So M's, let's go around the cooler and tell the listeners who you are and where they can find you on the internet. Megan, let's start with you.
Hi, I'm Megan McLaughlin. You can find me on Twitter and everywhere at HeyDudeMeg.
Joey?
Hi, I'm Joey Moser. You can find me on Twitter at JoeyMoser83.
And again, I'm Clarence Moy. You can find me on Twitter at Clarence Moy. Welcome back. Hopefully you're feeling better, Megan.
I am. I was like losing my voice last week. It was really bad. I bought a whole thing of cough drops and I thought I shouldn't push it anymore. I was pushing it really hard. So thank you for letting me take the night off. But I missed you guys. And I need to listen to it still, but I enjoyed Joey saying that he was into football. Was like, I literally was like, my jaw was on the floor. I was like, what?
Okay. Jesus Christ. The fag likes football.
No, but it's funny because in defense of Megan, she's right though, I think, because you always say sports ball, and you know, it's not because of your, I mean, there's tons of people on the LGBTQ spectrum who like sports, and you have just personally has nothing to do with who you fuck. It's just, you know, it's just your personal experience with football or sports has always been like sports ball.
Right. And also, like, all the only other thing you've ever said to me that was very sports related was that you were almost at every baseball park in the country, right?
Yeah, but that was crazy.
Not like kind of like on the I was like 11. But yes, I was. I was featured in seasons 2 through 7 of To Catch a Predator. That's what it was.
That's what we call Joey Bait Moser.
Yeah. I have like a giant lollipop right in that room right there.
Oh my God, this got dark very soon. So since we're talking about the LGBTQ spectrum, I'm curious as to what you guys think about Ted, what's his name? Ted Levine, coming out and saying that he regretted Silence of the Lambs.
I saw a little bit of that today. I didn't read the whole statement or anything. I saw that people were talking about it. I guess I just feel like, I feel like, I mean, you can apologize for things, but I feel like we also, we're evolving. We're constantly evolving. And I feel like we didn't know 40 some or 30 some years ago about, I feel like people just didn't know. I really do believe that. And I feel bad that he regrets it, but I also understand it, I guess, in a way. But I also think the time's just different. I don't know. What do you think, Joey? You're the one who should be speaking on this, not me.
Well, I probably not, because I'm not trans or non-trans.
But you're LGBT.
Yes, I am under an umbrella right now. It is
a rainbow umbrella.
A rainbow umbrella. I understand. I agree that I remember reading something like organizations, like, didn't they boycott the movie's release?
They did.
A little bit. But I mean, like, how we talk about gender and dysphoria and things like that, we don't talk about that in the year of 2026 that we did in 1991. So I completely understand why he would say that. I didn't read the full quote or the article, but still a really great movie. I think actually the part in Silence of the Lambs that I think is, and maybe this is what he apologized for, like, there was such a trope in, like, you know, the 50s, 60s and 70s of like the mustache twirling gay man villain role. So maybe Ted Levine equated it more to that, in addition to the politics of gender and things like that. But I mean, I at least can appreciate the sentiment of apologizing, considering how how much violence and marginalization trans people face again in this year of 2026. So.
I guess, like, I just don't think he should blame himself. Like, I don't, I feel like people didn't know things. I don't know. I just think that, but I appreciate the apology too. I think you're right.
I
Well,
would
if
say
you
on some level, not just, I would say that it like people knew things, but I don't think straight people in a lot of instances, not saying that this is what happened, but I think a lot of straight people didn't take a lot of time to figure out what that was.
If you go back to the film, though, there is commentary by Hannibal Lecter, who was Buffalo Bill's psychiatrist from the story. And he says he's not transsexual. He's a garden variety manic depressive. Like he doesn't know the way that they position the character in the film through Hannibal Lecter is he doesn't know what he is. He's trying lots of different things.
That's true.
He's a butterfly looking for change, but he doesn't know what he wants to change into. So, I think the if I had to talk to if I were talking to Ted Levine, I bet that the reaction that he feels, the regret that he feels, is more the culture putting an interpretation on him as an actor and saying, you played a villain who was trans, instead of trying to understand that that character wasn't anything that you could readily, that's what made it so terrifying, was that you couldn't readily label that character. Now, Basic Instinct, next year had a lot more, oh, look, killer lesbians. It's like,
Oh, I've never seen Basic Instinct.
oh my God, can we all watch Basic Instinct? Can we do a double feature of Basic Instinct and Ella McKay?
Oh yeah, like when are we watching Ella McKay? We haven't done
No,
that yet.
we
We have to do
absolutely
it.
have to do. Yeah, we should do that for next week, actually. That would be, let's do that for next week. But I mean, there were two boycotts back to back in 91 and 92. I'm old enough to remember them. And,
86 years ago, was it? It's been
eh,
87
back when movies were movies.
And you paid a nickel. You're
There
gonna pay
was
them.
a person in the front playing the piano during Sharon Stone's infamous crotch shot sequence.
He hit an infamous G shop when I thought clitoris.
I didn't know. To this day, she still says this. To this day, it's all bullshit on I didn't wear underwear to the set, but he told me the camera wasn't going to be right up my legs. I'm like,
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Anyway,
I didn't know that.
but there
Fucking
was a
love Sharon
lot
Stone.
of discourse around. There was much more discourse around people protesting a bisexual killer in Basic Instinct than there were some people protesting Silence of the Lambs, but it was it you know obviously it wasn't a controversy. It wasn't a discourse or a dialogue that I think America was ready to have back in 1991 on a broad scale.
Yeah, I agree.
But it's and I think part of it, I would wager too that that character really has haunted that actor, because
I'm sure.
once you go and you talk and you dance naked in front of a camera, it's hard
You've
to
been
come back from
parodied
that.
so many times. How many
Yeah.
times has that been parodied?
Yeah.
So many
So,
times.
Anyway, people's reactions to it are their reactions. I agree. It's a great film. I can't speak to, how he feels or anybody else feels about it, but it's a great film.
I wanted to shout out an unrelated Robert Duvall, RIP. I can't believe he was 95. And working up until like just a few years ago, really, too. I was sad to learn that today because he was always like when appeared on screen, he always kind of like, oh, this is a movie. I always feel like when he would show up. I didn't
Speaking
know
of
how you guys felt.
speaking of LGBTQ, this podcast is brought to you by Chick-fil-A.
Oh my God. Go
Sorry.
donate $12 to the Trevor Project.
I do always love, though, the story of Joey yelling at me when Chick-fil-A first was like Everybody was hating on it, and he was like, "If I ever catch you at a Chick-fil-A, I will kill you," you know, like threatening me. And I was like, "I don't even go to Chick-fil-A." And then a week later, that bitch came in with Chick-fil-A, and I said, "What the hell happened?" He's like, "Oh, I'm sorry, I caved." I was like,
Okay, we're cutting this.
No, we're not.
Yeah.
we're not.
They're
This was like 15 years ago, but like,
gonna you're gonna
it
get
was pretty
canceled,
funny.
Joey.
Yes. I have 12 Twitter followers.
Okay. All right, I can cut this if you want me to. Yes, I mean, I was sad, but then he's 95. That is
Yeah.
a very long life. He lived actually
Right.
in near Middleburg, Virginia, where the Middleburg Film Festival is.
I didn't
And
know that.
yeah, and we wanted to go and look up where he lived and like ride by his house and look and see if he was sitting on the front porch in a rocking chair with a shotgun.
Oh my God.
But
Next time.
a tremendous actor. One of my favorite performances of his is The Apostle.
I was thinking about that one. That came out in 97, right? I think
Yeah.
that was he was
Yeah.
nominated the year of
It was Titanic.
I still have like that whole lineup memorized, I think. Like I just have that ingrained in my memory, that whole Oscar year, from the dresses to everything, but I remember him being nominated.
Yeah, he was really tremendous in that.
He was a good actor. And he also looked always he always looked older. Like even like they're showing like
Yeah.
clips of him from The Godfather. I'm like, he looked like that for like 40 years. Like really. Yeah.
What are your favorite
What was
performances of his?
I
Not the judge.
mean, he's really classic in The Godfather. I'm trying to think because he just shows up in things too. He's one of those actors who just like shows up in things and like I said, adds gravitas to it. But just an all-around like amazing actor.
Yeah, God, there's some things and I've forgotten that he was in. So, he was
Yeah.
in the original Handmaid's Tale.
He was the
Oh.
commander.
He was the commander. Oh, fuck. With Faye Dunaway as his wife.
Did she
Good
play
old
Serena
Faye.
Joy?
Yeah.
Oh,
Oh,
interesting.
interesting.
the scenery was chewed.
Yeah, a
Oh,
monstrosity had nothing left to do. Like,
well, he
wow.
was in Four
There's.
Christmases, a movie that I hated and have watched it so many times I have grown to
I.
love it.
That's the only one that I can think of, like in recent memory. And I'm like, why is that the one standing out? Because I think he was just like crazy and nuts in that one, too. You know,
Yes.
he just kind of
Yeah.
like, he really throws it. He would throw himself into his performances and be memorable. And like I said, add gravitas to it.
We watched Sleepless in Seattle this weekend, and it was the first time I'd seen it since Rob Reiner died. And it was like, oh.
I know that scene is his
He's so
scene.
good
Oh,
in
I
that.
always think, yeah, he's so good in that.
That movie is almost a perfect romantic comedy. Anyway.
We
So
have to save
sorry about
that
the.
for our Meg Ryan
Yes, of course.
podcast.
All right. So this week we wanted to talk about two things. We wanted to talk about love story, not American love story, love story. The JFK Jr. and Carolyn Bessette saga, pr executive produced by Ryan Murphy, not written or directed by him. And then, of course, we wanted to revisit this year's Oscar race and take a look at the best supporting actor category. And then, of course, we'll wrap with the flashboard to the media we're most anticipating in the upcoming week. So let's start with love story. Joey, why don't you tell us about love story?
Love Story is created, I think, by Connor Hines. It's I think 9 episodes. I have seen seven. I've seen seven. It really shows how JFK Jr. This I think well the first montage in the well not montage the first scene that you see in the opening of the first episode is in 1999 when Carolyn Bessette, her sister, and John get into the tiny little plane. And the plane just goes up into the air. And then it flashes back to, I think, 1992.
Like 7 years before
Yeah,
I
so
graduated,
7 years earlier, so you kind of see how JFK Jr. is really trying to figure out, not like what his legacy is, but he kind of wants to find his first thing that is truly his own. And at the same time, Carolyn Bessette is working at Calvin Klein. First of all, the fact that in the first episode you see a fitting of Annette Bening before the Bugsy premiere, and I was like, oh my God, I'm getting old. Like, it's so, like, the first thing I saw, and I was like, that looks like Annette Bening. And then they're like, are you gonna wear this to Bugsy with Warren on the carpet? I was like, oh my God, it's Annette Bening. It was freaking me out.
That would be
And the
1991.
1901, yeah. Okay, so it's a
Yeah.
little earlier than that.
I think they got it. I think they got some of the time wrong because they did say 7 years prior in the, because I was like, okay, 93.
Yeah.
But Bugsy was like 90
91.
something.
Because it was the
Yeah.
same year as Silence of the Lambs.
Interesting. It all
Yeah.
comes full
It all.
circle.
Oh yeah.
So,
Yeah, he died in 1999. Yeah, they got the dates wrong on that one. That's so
fact
annoying.
checking.
That's so
Or
annoying.
maybe it's
It's like
not,
the
maybe it's
was it a different movie? Was it a different one?
No, they said Bugsy.
No.
They said, aren't you going
Is
to
it
wear
the
this to the
Bugsy?
Bugsy premiere? Yes, because I just watched it like 45 minutes ago.
Okay.
I'm sure it
And
wasn't an accident.
that.
Maybe they just wanted to stretch it. I bet it was a conscious choice.
Okay.
You're
Anyway,
probably
with
right.
all that research, you can't tell me they can't get a movie year right. I don't know. So the series basically charts the beginning of their relationship. And the struggle with, being the unofficial American, at least for him, the unofficial American prince, people talking about how good looking he is, how successful, like, what's he doing? Whereas she doesn't want to get involved in that at all. And she really. This is something that I find very impressive about Sarah Pigeon's performance is that you can't really like pin her down. I feel like he really le I think she really leaves him wanting more every single time that they leave an interaction. So it's really about the beginning of their relationship. And I have to say, I was really impressed with how it doesn't feel really obnoxiously stretched out. Like, I never thought that. I was like, oh, this could have been tightened. It doesn't feel like it's stretched beyond its means for me. I think I can't. Megan messaged me yesterday. She's, is Naomi Watts good in something finally?
That.
Naomi Watts is Jackie O. I originally made the joke that I thought her accent was based off of Nicole Kidman doing an impression of Natalie Portman and Jackie, but I don't know. She's very I think she's very effective. I think this is the first time that I've been like really sort of down with what a Gummer is doing. Mamie Gummer plays Caroline Bessette.
Grace Gummer. I thought it was Grace.
It was Grace Gummer.
I thought it was Grace Gummer.
Okay, that's why I said a gummer.
Grace Gummer. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Grace.
Okay. So I don't know. I'm really down for the show. I really like it. I think the two central performances are really, really good. JFK Jr. packing heat in that locker room that first episode, which Megan had a TikTok
Find it
of.
on TikTok.
Find it on TikTok, people. And I don't know. I'm really interested in how it's kind of showing how American, I don't know, public eye stuff when people didn't want to be in the public eye. And yeah, I just really I'm really taken with it.
Megan.
Anyone?
I would say I am too. I agree with what you said. I've seen like 1.5 episodes, and I remember, Carolyn Bessette was always a mystery to me. I couldn't even tell you what she sounded like really.
Yeah.
And so I was curious how they were going to handle this. I always thought she looked like she was shy, and here I'm learning, no, this woman was not
Yeah.
shy and was actually quite bold. And I was worried about them doing this, because I'm like, I don't want them to be exploitative with this couple, because I think what happens to them is so sad. And I remember when the plane went down, I kept thinking, they're gonna find them. They're gonna find them. Like,
Yeah.
even to this day, I like to imagine that they are somewhere on an island together. I don't, it's just like, I really felt for them, because they were always plastered all over the tabloids, and you could see them fighting in public and stuff. But I really like the way they're kind of painting them as real people, and I like JFK. The whole legacy thing is interesting. Also, can you just imagine, like, I was thinking about like living in New York in 1999, and him just like riding on his bike, I mean, even today, I feel like I don't think he could do that to like with social media and stuff and every, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. But I like the way it captures the 90s, and it doesn't feel very, how do I put it? Like, cliche. Like, the music choices are really great.
Yeah.
I love seeing her developed as a person. It's almost honoring herself as somebody more than just an accessory to this story. Like, she had her own story. She was really good at style and really good at those things, and good with people. And I really liked seeing that. And I think Sarah Pigeon is incredible, and everything you said about her performance is true. And also, I just, yeah, I really, it's really hard to watch in some ways too, though, because I just, knowing how it ends and just seeing this tragedy unfold, and also just how hard it is on them. But I really am enjoying it.
Yeah, I mean, I like a lot of it. I do struggle with why this, why now, and why do I care? But I mean, that's just I just don't have that connection with the Kennedys. I don't have that fascination with the Kennedys. I just, to me, it's a revelation for who Carolyn Bessette was. The
Yeah.
JFK Jr. stuff is like all cliched, and like I find that, oh, I'm so embarrassed that I failed the, the bar again, and just I don't have a private life, and mommy issues and all that stuff. I don't know. It's none of that stuff feels incredibly fresh to me, but watching her, and I think maybe it's because he is not a seasoned actor, and she is a Tony nominated actress, and she's fantastic. Sarah Pigeon is fantastic as Carolyn Bessette. He's good. He just was cast, I think, because he looks a lot like JFK Jr. And he looks good with hats backwards, which seems to be the primary choice there. I'm fascinated by Naomi Watts, and that performance, and I can't decide if it's good or bad. I really can't. Like, it's I think
I
she's doing a really good
switched.
job with the accent. I think.
Yeah.
What switch? Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I originally thought it wasn't good, and no, I think it's good.
Okay.
I think it's great, and I do want to say, I don't think Naomi Watts is a bad actress. I just think she's hasn't been given the
No,
right parts.
no, I
Like,
totally agree
sure.
with you.
And
Yeah.
like, finally, it's like, oh, this is something. And Joey, you pinpointed a great. But like, we don't see Jackie represented in this age. We usually see younger Jackie, and like, this is a kind of a fresh take, and I think Naomi Watts is running with it, and she's doing a good job.
Yeah, for some reason, when there are roles for women of that age range, she never seems to be the top of that list, even though she's a very good actress. They just have never known what to do with her.
Yeah, for like 20 years now. I think ever since the
Yeah.
ring, post ring, they have not known what to do with her. And this is like, it's really, I think I was like, what? I think I kind of knew she was going to be in it, but I'm
It's a
impressed with her. I did
fun.
want to say,
Sorry, I was
Oh,
just
go
saying,
ahead.
it's a fun choice. It's an unexpected choice.
Yes. I did want to say that whenever JFK and Carolyn meet for the
Carolyn.
first time, I was kind of like, oh my God, they're finally going to talk. And when they did talk, I was kind of like, oh, it's kind of like a weird, awkward letdown. But then it got better. I don't know if anybody else, if you felt that too, but I also wonder if that was like kind of because it was awkward and they were at a party.
I mean, I think
Yeah, I think.
it felt real. It felt like that would
Yes.
almost like almost a documentary of those two people meeting for, in real life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that if I can go back to the Naomi Watts thing for a second, I have always kind of thought that Naomi Watts right now in her career does she kind of telegraphs a lot of I don't say delicacy, but like she can do that. And I think some people, when they're looking for, I'm using air quotes here, but like, roles for women of an age, like I think they were like, well, now we're looking, I think people are more surprised when women do roles that show how tough they are, sort of like a Demi Moore in The Substance. Like, can you believe Demi Moore did that? Like, if someone wants to give Naomi Watts her substance, I'm down. So down. I will say for Sarah Pigeon, and also I'm sorry, to go back to the Jackie O thing, there's something that is said when this is not a spoiler or anything, because we know that George Magazine comes up. But when George Magazine starts to become a thing, there's a really interesting conversation that she has with John. He told me, I said, I can call him that. That where she says, why do you want to go into an industry that has profited so much off of our family? I find that very interesting.
Yeah, I do too.
But the Sarah Pigeon thing that I want everyone, if they haven't started watching it yet, I want everyone to see how Sarah Pigeon moves her body in such a, it feels like her spine is elastic. The way that she's like, when she's in the office and she's like really in her element and she knows what she's doing, the way that she kind of like she like bends over a desk to talk to somebody, like her spine
Yeah.
elongates. And I could write a dissertation about how she flips her hair.
Her hair is
Her
gorgeous.
hair is amazing. And then it's you, there's a scene in an upcoming, well, whole episode really, that deals with more of like her coming to terms with like the Kennedy family and being around all of them, where you see her not struggling with that, but you realize that she is a little out of her element, at least at first. I'm like really bowled over by her. Like really, really, really in love with what she's doing.
Yeah, and I think me going back to that moment where they meet, I think I was struck by that this guy is kind of more fresh as an actor, and I was expecting a little the actor who plays JFK Jr. I was expecting a little more because she's giving so much, I guess. I've warmed to him though, and I think he is doing a good job. But it was like that first encounter. I was like, oh, am I gonna like them together? I'm not sure, but then eventually it kind of gelled.
One thing
Yeah,
that
the
I was in.
sorry, just Paul Anthony Kelly. Yeah, he's doing he's the I think what he's doing is it's hard for you to kind of get into what he's doing because it would be so much more obvious if JFK as a person was like an asshole. And he's not.
Yeah.
Sorry,
Yeah.
go ahead. I'm sorry, Clarence.
No, I was just going to say, and this limited series has taught me that not only was Carolyn Bessette responsible for Annette Bening's Bugsy premiere coat, but she was also responsible for Kate Moss's career. Who knew?
Yes, I know. I
Is
was
there
like, oh my
nothing she
God,
can't do
girl.
except fly a plane?
I
Too
know. Well,
soon? I
she
know.
didn't fly the plane.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Which I do want to talk about that too, though, because that the moment in the beginning where, he's like injured, like he'd like And he needed an instructor, and I want to be like, dude, what are you doing? Like, no. Like, and I you kind of see a bit of that. I don't want to say like he's an everyman, but not quite, because he still might have that, like, oh, I can do anything. I guess I feel like a lot of celebrities do that, or not a lot of celebrities, but people, maybe because you've always had a silver spoon, you can do anything. And I just kept thinking, oh, you're injured and you need your instructor, and why are you not waiting for your instructor? Like,
And you're a
I,
Kennedy, and you know, Kennedys are
yeah.
50% more likely to die early.
Yeah. Oh, well,
The
yeah. Was it
curse,
even
the
then, or did
curse.
the curse kind of come after that?
No, the curse has been going for a long time because
Oh,
JFK, Robert,
right.
all you
Yes.
know, all kinds of things after that.
Okay.
So, very good. It's interesting. It's weird though that this has 12 executive producers. Why does there need to be 12 executive producers
Because
on
they all
this?
have to take turns keeping Ryan Murphy locked in a room somewhere.
Good point. All right. It'll be interesting. I mean,
Sorry.
there's not a lot of so far, there's not a lot of limited series content out there. So this I assume that this is probably going to do very good at the Emmys. I mean, it is a kind of a Ryan Murphy production, but it's gotten good critical response, so
Yeah.
it'll do better
It's
than
like
Endgame.
elegant as fuck.
I think it's being respectful in some ways too. Unlike your comment about but I think that, like, it's just, I don't know, because I was really worried about that. I was really worried that they were going to, it was just going to be like, I hate to say this, Ryan Murphy garbage. And it was going to be
Yeah. Like,
like,
he bends.
I was worried it was going to be Menendez brothers, like, you know, with her kissing her sister and stuff and making up stuff that we don't really know happened, you know?
Or it would be a 10 episode limited series and it focuses on them, but then there's like two bottle episodes where what did JFK think about OJ Simpson? Or what did JFK think
Right.
about Andrew
Yeah.
Cunanan? And
Yes.
you
Right.
know, just
Ugh.
yeah,
Or
you
what do
know,
you think
those.
about him appearing on Seinfeld? Is his character, or his, you know, he, because his character was on
Or
Seinfeld.
like an episode dedicated to JFK Jr. having a conversation with his father, you know, an
Right.
imagined,
Yeah.
you know, or something, you know, just completely out of left field that makes no sense
Yeah.
and ruins. Hopefully they're nothing like that in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you kind of automatically get that indication from that like 5, 6 minute prologue at the beginning, because they don't, I mean, I wonder if somebody who is younger would know, because I think it's just a very elegant, very sophisticated look up, showing also of like New York, like the amount of magazines, like the fact that they're like showing like this is the culture and world of magazine. I don't know. I thought that is very, very respectful too. But
Yeah.
I think the first 5 minutes, when you see them go up in that plane, and there's like a shot of the back of the plane, that normally if this was made like 5 years ago, 6 years ago, or it was directed or written by other people, it would, you know, have a title card. It would have a flash to the crash of the plane. Like, I wonder if people who don't know who they are, I'm going in completely blind, like maybe they don't know that they die. It's sort of like a, I don't know. I think it's done and handled in a completely different way than what we have grown to expect.
Do you think somebody at the end of the series, or this end of the first episode, is as like Ralph Wiggum is like, is President Lincoln okay? Do you think they had turned like Carolyn and John okay? Do you think somebody did that while watching it?
Oh, I
Yes.
guarantee you, yes, there are cultural literacy is so dead that yes, I believe that there are people who don't know that they are. Oh, I mean, and you mentioned, you know, you want to imagine them still living on an island. Remember,
Yeah.
4 or 5 years ago, QAnon, they were gathering all over the United States because he was returning. They
Wait,
were
John
oh
JFK
John,
Jr.?
yeah, JFK Jr.
Oh
Yes,
my God, I forgot
QAnon.
all about that.
Oh my God.
QAnon people were going to come back, and he was going to come out for Trump.
I'm not QAnon. People are going to know that. When I said I thought they were lying.
We
I
know
think
who
I have the
Q is.
clip
Megan is
now.
Q.
I think I have the clip now. I'm going to fashion a clip that
I
proves that Megan is Q.
not. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
I forgot that they did that. That's crazy. But.
All right. Anything else on Love Story?
No,
No.
it's really good. I can't wait to watch
Okay.
more of it.
All right, very good. So let's jump and break down the Best Supporting Actor 2026 Oscar race. The nominees are Stellan Skarsgård for Sentimental Value, Delroy Lindo, Sinners, Benicio del Toro, One Battle After Another, Sean Penn, One Battle After Another, and Jacob Elordi, Frankenstein. That is in no particular order. It is not alphabetical. It was just how it was listed. So, for a long time, we all assumed, at least coming out of Telluride, when we saw Sentimental Value, we all assumed that this was kind of going to be Stellan Skarsgård's sort of career momentum. He's a hugely respected actor who has never been nominated before. He's been great in so many films, and he's in a arguable leading role in this film as being campaigned as supporting actor. Looked like it was going his way. He didn't get no one like the Screen Actors Guild or the actors completely ignored Sentimental Value, which is shocking because it is an actor focused and an art focused
Right.
film. Is he still the front runner?
I did it. I did an Oscar talk yesterday at the Lindsay Theater in Pittsburgh, and we talked about this very topic. And I still think he probably is the front runner, but I think Delroy Lindo getting in and being such this fresh surprise kind of gives him some support. But then I've also been seeing people online saying that after that image went viral of Jesse Buckley, who was Jesse Buckley,
Amy
who did
Madigan.
this for Amy Madigan? Wait, who was the fourth one? Was it Timothée Chalamet? No, it was Wagner Moura. And when that went viral, people were like, "This would be a great lineup, and this could be it." And I'm like, Benicio, like Benicio. For a few small beers, he's great in that movie, but I would like people were saying that Benicio's swelling support, and I'm just kind of like don't see it. I think it's between Stellan Skarsgård and Delroy Lindo, and I like the front runner is Stellan Skarsgård, but I think Delroy Lindo is the one I'm going with.
If it's one of those two actors, it would be sort of history making because neither one of those actors are nominated at the Screen Actors slash Actors Awards. And you have to, I think, since the I may be wrong, but since the beginning of SAG, Regina King and Marcia Gay Harden are the only two individuals to win an Oscar without first getting a nomination at the SAG Awards. So it would be
Oh.
difficult for it would be history, not history making, but it would be very, very, very unlikely if you just look at that as a stat. I'm just putting that out there. I don't necessarily,
Yeah. No, I agree.
who it would be either Benicio del Toro, Sean Penn, or Jacob Elordi, because those are the only
I
three
mean,
that have both.
right. Well, I don't think it's Jacob Elordi. So maybe it am I crazy? Am I for thinking that Benicio del Toro, when I read that, am I crazy for being like Benicio?
Well, Benicio del Toro had a lot of he had a lot of regional critic stuff, and then he also I'm on the IMDb, not, well, I'm on the Wikipedia for them now, that he won. I think he won at New York and he won at LA.
And he is great. He's great, but he's just like he already has his Oscar.
Okay, no, he
Yeah.
didn't win LA. He won National Board of Review. He won New York Film Critics Circle. He's won a bunch of places. I think before, I would say, but in like November, December, he seemed like he seemed like a de facto winner in a lot of respects because he kept popping up in a lot of places. I don't think he's out of the running. I still have Stellan Skarsgård in there because I think if somebody would have gotten in at the actors and Skarsgård was left off, I think that is more of a big deal than I feel like they just didn't respond to sentimental value at all. So, I don't know. I can see this category giving us a surprise. I don't think it's Jacob Elordi. I think it is probably between Lindo,
Del
Del
Toro.
Toro, and thank you, Skarsgård. I think the, I mean, because Marcia Gay Harden won with nothing. She wasn't nominated anywhere. And I don't, I think she was the last person to do that. I'm probably forgetting somebody. Someone's probably screaming at me. I think it's Stellan Skarsgård because sentimental value overperformed nominations wise.
That's the smart pick. Yeah.
But I, what?
Elle
Elle
Fanning
Fanning.
showing up kind of gives him extra points. Yeah.
And like
Yes.
it didn't get casting, but it got that editing nomination. And Joachim Trier, who I think a lot of people, myself included, I didn't think he was going to get in. He got in for director.
Yeah.
I don't know if I said this to, I said this to somebody. I am actually wondering currently, I have sentimental value spoiling in screenplay too. And not sinners.
Girl, really?
Well, if it had been Miles Keaton instead of Delroy Lindo, I would think, oh, maybe there's something stronger there. But the fact that they, you know, they, I'm super happy that they went with Delroy Lindo because I mean,
Yeah.
as a career as a career mention, not only for the film, but as a, just a, as the you know to show the his body of work and to recognize that actor is a tremendous thing. I would love to see more acting away. I would love to see someone walk away from that film with an acting award, whether it's Wunmi Mosaku, whether it's Michael B. Jordan, or whether it's Delroy Lindo. I just think it's really, I think he's probably third. In my mind, he's third. I could be totally wrong. It's just weird because all the traditional precursors are kind of thrown out of the window because of, you know,
Yeah.
SAG-AFTRA, the actors.
Yes, doctors.
I will probably
Did
continue to
Lindo
go with.
make the short list at BAFTA or long list at BAFTA?
Let's check.
Could have just looked and said something, but I decided to throw out a question.
Your website is very hard to.
It's weird. Me no likey.
Yes, he did. It
Okay,
was Del
cool.
Toro, Elordi,
Sounds good.
Lindo, Mescal, Peter Mullen from I Swear, Sean Penn, Adam Sandler, Andrew Scott, Alexander Skarsgård, and Stellan Skarsgård. But he did not get nominated, though, at BAFTA,
Okay.
right?
Right.
Interesting, interesting.
And there were six nominations here: Del Toro, Elordi, Mescal, Peter Mullen, Sean Penn, and Stellan Skarsgård. I'm wondering if the international branches of the Academy really come in very strongly for Stellan Skarsgård and recognize him.
You're probably right. I just felt like I'm going with Delroy Lindo. I'm going with Delroy Lindo.
That was such a nomination that everybody loved. Like, there's
Yes.
nobody. Like, I was disappointed that Paul Mescal didn't get in because I think that performance is really beautiful. But if somebody like Delroy Lindo, who's never been nominated before, gets in, fine by me.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I really hope that we eventually put to bed this dragging of Hamnet as if, just people really need to stop with this because, I see so many people holding up, oh God, the article that came out today.
No.
Sorry, I'm
What came out
completely.
today?
Ian McKellen came out and said, "Oh, it's a terrible movie because I don't. This is not how Hamlet was devised, and I don't care about his family life. And this is, and it makes no sense that Agnes or Anne Hathaway would never have seen a play considering who he was. And it's not supposed to be. And I understand that's his. He's a
Yeah.
legendary Shakespearean actor, right?" So, but that's it was Maggie O'Farrell's interpretation of the events of that life. Nobody knows what his life was like. Nobody knows
Right.
anything about him. There's very little information
Right.
about their relationship, right? And it was part of the narrative that she constructed in that book, where Agnes was such a child of the woods that she didn't engage in anything pop culture wise. She didn't engage in London culture. She wouldn't have gone. She knew what he did, but I don't think she understood what he did. And that's the beauty of the film, is that when the art dawns on her, that is what makes that end scene sing so well.
I agree. I almost, this is terrible because I've discussed this with other people who are also like staunch, like Shakespeare was gay. Shakespeare, hi, Nick Fascitelli, if you're listening. Shakespeare was gay. Shakespeare would never, this isn't true. And I guess I kind of don't care that
No.
it's not true. Like if it's not true, because I think that, I mean, that's what film, that's what art is. And that's actually what he would have wanted, I think, is something, expressing art, that how important art is. So it's in the spirit of Shakespeare, by even if it's not true. And I thought it was beautiful. And I thought, I've never seen a film like that. I've never seen a film talk about art like that. And I think that is why it's one of the best of the year, because when you're watching something and you're like, whoa, I've never seen a film do that. And that's what's such the miracle of that movie, is that it's not something with big like sequences of like fast moving cars or like a chase sequence. It is just, acting and art, and it does things that F1 couldn't do. Really. Sorry, F1.
Quite a comparison, but I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying.
Yes. Like it's doing powerful things that, like, in a way that I know that like the fanboys are going to be like, oh, F1 and does all these things, but it's like it's doing things that, so with such subtlety, and just through art. And I think that that's what makes it special.
I just think, stop kicking this film. Just because, whether you can't engage with it on an emotional level or you don't like it because this is not what you think Shakespeare was like. I don't care. This is what the film is. It is not, as you say, it is not intended to be a documentary. It is intended to be an interpretation of events. I don't know
Yeah.
why it's
It's
so
not.
hard for people to come around to that.
I'm going to lose it online when in 2 or 3 years someone watches Hamnet and they're like, wait, why was everyone so mean to this movie? I will lose my mind. Because
But
it's just
then,
like, ugh.
do you think they'll do that? Like, I'm still astounded by the people who hate on Everything Everywhere All at Once. All these people, I mean, that year that that came out, everybody loved that. I mean, and this is coming from somebody who I was like mid on it. Like, I respect the hell out of it, but it wasn't something that I really responded to. I'm glad it won the Oscar. But then seeing these people turn on it, I'm like, are we gonna have that with Sinners in a few years? Oh, it's a vampire movie. Or like, are we gonna have that with like One Battle After Another? Like, oh, it's just a stupid stoner flick. Like, I just get so tired of people
It
being gung-ho and then changing their mind.
in 2 or 3 years, people will absolutely turn on One Battle After Another when it wins.
How about Anora? Have people turned on Anora yet? I feel
Oh
like
yeah.
that's, yeah.
They turned on that before it won Best Picture.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
No, every Best Picture winner, no matter how great, no matter how how critically lauded it was. There's always some fucking booger online who, like, a little while later, they're like, not that good. I was like, oh, let's talk about stuff in an engaging way. Just this, like, this stupid bullshit, quick clicky TikTok deteriorated atrophied brain bullshit that people are just like, I don't want to talk about it. I'm too tired. Oh, my anxiety. I'm gonna take a nap. It's like, shut the fuck up. Shut up.
An
Don't know what
old
that
man
was.
has
Kim.
an old man
Yes.
has talked has spoken. A Keebler elf has spoken. All right. So I assume next week we will start talking about supporting actress
And Ella McKay snubs,
and Ella
right?
McKay.
And
Yes, of
Basic
course.
Instinct.
Yeah. And Basic Instinct. Yes. That would be interesting, actually.
I can't believe you've never seen Basic Instinct. Have you never
There are a
seen
lot of
Basic
movies I have
Instinct?
not seen. But there are a lot of movies that I've seen that no one else has seen, like Clifford. No one ever knows Clifford.
Oh, I know Clifford. That movie freaks me out.
The movie is amazing. Shut up.
I didn't say it was bad.
You know what is bad? We were
Can't
surfing
wait to hear.
on TV this weekend after watching, let's see, we watched Pretty in Pink, and then we watched Sleepless in Seattle, and then
When
we
movies
watched.
were good.
You basically were living a Saturday night with as me as a 15-year-old.
Yeah. And then we were looking for something else to fall asleep to, and Father of the Bride Part 2 was on. That is not a good movie. That is not a good movie.
No, it's kind of
No.
stupid,
It
isn't
is
it? But it's just.
horribly offensive, for one thing. That
Which
Eugene
part?
Levy
I don't
character.
remember.
Eugene Levy, who
Oh, yeah.
plays some sort of Middle Eastern, just
Oh my God.
a
Oh God.
total, I mean, this was like in 1990, in the mid-90s, and it's a just a shocking. I mean, it's just like, does this come out in 1970? Like, he's a Middle Eastern real estate guy, and he's just like, my
Yeah.
money, give me money. I mean, it's just
My
horrid.
gosh.
It's horrid. And the movie's
What's
terrible.
weird, like I just saw an article. Did you guys see that article about Rosie Perez? How she said her agent told her that she would get more work if she lied and pretended that she was African American.
No.
So
I did
she
not
said
see
she
that.
just got up and walked away. Like, she just fired him on the spot. She's like, bye. It's just kind of. So
Wow.
maybe, man, the 90s were fucking wild.
Anyway, yeah, so that was interesting. All right.
Is it probably because and I say this with utmost affection because I obviously love her, but I mean, why was Diane Keaton's hair like that?
In
I think in Father of the Bride Part 2, I bet she walked on set after the hair person cut her hair. She's like, this is what we have Diane in. And then, like, lightning struck and the movie was cursed.
she's supposed to be like our age in that movie
I
though,
know,
right?
and she looks 77 in it. Because of that fucking hair.
Wait, how old was
That's my
she when she
sleep
f
paralysis demon. Her haircut. Not her face and not her. Just her haircut. Just.
she was she was 50 when she filmed that, right?
Oh my
But I think
God.
she. No, because she was 50 when she filmed. They all turned 50 on First Wives Club. Because that
Okay.
was.
So
And
she
that
was
was
like
like 98.
46. It was
Yeah.
96.
Yeah.
I'm sorry,
She's.
that was like the gay
I know,
fast
but
track.
you and I
Damn it,
both were like
Brian.
96, 96, yeah. Yeah.
That the whole thing is weird. The whole thing is just really weird, and just a they did that movie did not need a sequel.
No. No.
Anyway, all right. Let's jump to the flash forward to the media we are most anticipating in the upcoming week, and I'm gonna go first because it's very brief. This weekend is just gonna be taken up by my daughter's 18th birthday, so she's we have a new voter. We have a new voter.
Yes.
And
Oh,
yeah, so I've been watching The Pitt, of course, which I don't care what people say, I still love it. I still think it's very
I do
consistent, and
too.
I just
Me too.
I'm so in love with the show.
Me
I have
too.
also randomly, weirdly been rewatching the original X-Men movies, and
I love that for you.
I don't know
I
why.
love that.
And in fact, it was really funny because I didn't watch the original because I've seen that one so many times. I just didn't. And then I watched the second one, which I loved back then, and I thought it was kind of mid now. And then I was like, do I want to watch The Last Stand? Because this is the one that Brett Ratner directed, and everybody hated it. And it was much better than I remember it being, which is weird. Now I'm going to go back to the reboot with the younger, with the Fassbender and Jennifer Lawrence and all that stuff, because
Fassbender.
I don't remember those movies at all. I have eternal sunshine them from my brain. So that's what I'm going to be doing, in addition to probably continuing with Love Story and watching Paradise with my wife.
Yeah, I need
The
to watch
screeners
my
for that.
life. Are you liking Paradise?
Yes, I do. Although
Yeah.
there was a shocking turn of events that I won't spoil, that I was like, I don't like this choice, and I will just leave it at that. So,
Okay, I haven't watched it, so I'm glad we have somebody watching
who
it.
joined that cast this year?
Shailene Woodley.
Oh,
Those are two very different reactions.
sorry.
Oh.
And
Sorry.
I am rapping Inferno by Dan Brown. And as I go to bed every night, I am watching, reading, excuse me, The Housemaid is watching the third book in the Housemaid series.
I didn't know there were that
There is a third book,
many books in this
and
series. Isn't
no, there's just three. The third one came out in
Oh, okay. Thank God.
24, and
Oh, okay.
the second book is not good. But the third book I am loving because it's like, let's take Sydney Sweeney and put her into an episode of Desperate Housewives. Because
Oh, that sounds right up your alley.
this is 100% what this book is.
Yeah.
I'm loving it. I'm
That's
halfway through it. I'm loving it. I'm loving it. Joey, you can just watch the movie, read the book, skip the second book because it's terrible, and read the third book because you'll love the third book.
We're gonna have a whole podcast series just about it, which is fine.
I hope that they do a better job with this, with the second movie, because they really need to. It's just so, it's not good. Anyway, Joey, what about you?
I'm still watching Oscar movies. I'm determined to finish them by the end of the month, which I only have like eight left. So I'm excited. I'm excited for my Oscar party invitations to land this week. They have been mailed. Everyone, I say everyone as if I'm inviting all the viewers to my house. Most of you are not invited, listeners. I am
Like Joey and Betty Fuckface or Be
Betty
Billy
Joe Fuckface.
and Betty Fuckface are
She
not
looks like one of
invited.
the big heads from like Rocko's Modern Life or something. That's what I imagine she looks like. I am watching, I'm ignoring, as soon as I finish like an Oscar type movie, I ignore anything else I could be watching. Like I still haven't started season two of The Pitt. Because I'm enjoying a rewatch of Schitt's Creek. I started it, I think, last week, and I'm already on season four, so it'll be
Wow.
done by the time we record next week. So I'm looking forward to that. I have screeners to Margo's Got Money Problems, and
I've read that book too.
oh, you did? Oh, nice.
I've read the book. Yeah.
Okay. And I am looking forward to something on AMC Plus. Who knew? I got screeners to The Audacity, starring Billy Magnussen and Lucy Punch and Zach Galifianakis. I think it's about yeah, it's a self-appointed inventor of the future, tech CEO, and a self-serving performance psychologist are engulfed in a scandal sparked by the exploitation of personal data. Billy Magnussen, I will follow him to the end of the earth.
Yeah, you really do follow him everywhere.
I love a himbo with no vanity. I say that in the most affectionate terms. I've interviewed him 3 times, and I'm already gunning for number four. And anytime I talk to him, he will ask me like point blank. He was like, "So you like it, right?" like, do you like it? And I was like, yeah, I'll tell it. Like, he's like no bullshit. I love him, and I think he's completely underrated. I think he needs to be on a season of The White Lotus.
Yes, he
He'd be
does.
great on The White
He'd be
Lotus.
perfect.
Yeah. So I'm just watching what I want and not letting anything pressure me. So that's it.
Megan.
I loving the pit, of course. I need to start. I started watching Dark Winds, but I think I'm going to start in with season four because I want to talk to some people from the show, and I'm just going to jump in because I think that this is a show that is worth advocating around, and so I'm jumping in with that. Of course, my 1,000-pound sisters, and yes. Also, I'm going to see the Wallflowers this Friday,
Ah,
which I'm really excited.
really?
Yeah.
Welcome back, 90s.
And I know, and they're playing the entire Bringing Down the Horse album, which I'm really excited about.
Nice.
And then I'm also volunteering at Beer Fest and serving beer on
Oh,
Saturday.
nice.
So, but then I don't have any new books yet, but I gotta figure out something to read. And that's probably about it. Yeah.
Excellent. All right, so before we go, reminder to all of our viewers and listeners to rewatch or watch for the first time Ella McKay for next week's podcast. You can find that on Disney Plus. It is buried on Disney Plus, but if you do search on for Ella
Yeah.
McKay, it is there. Disney Plus or Hulu or whatever you have. Let's get the hell out of here. So we are the three M's, the contending co-founders, Joey Moser, Megan McLaughlin, and me, Clarence Moy, thanking you for joining us, asking you to remember to rate us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or YouTube, wherever you find us, and wishing you a very pleasant tomorrow.